Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The World Blind Union is extremely grateful to your Standing Committee and to the staff of WIPO for today's opportunity to present to you the issues relating to copyright, which affect the lives and the life chances of blind and partially sighted people. We have affiliate members in some 158 countries throughout the world. National delegations to the World Blind Union are made up of organisations in the respective countries representing or working with blind and partially sighted people. We are recognised by the United Nations as a major non-government organisation with consultative status, and we have enjoyed observer status with WIPO for some 10 years now. Our President, Ms. Kiki Nordstrom, sends her greetings. She regrets that due to prior commitments, she is unable to be here today. However, the President of the European region within the World Blind Union, Sir John Wall, is here. Sir John, Mr. Stephen King and I will be happy to discuss matters further with distinguished delegates either after today's meeting or at any time in the future. In this presentation, I intend to highlight the balance that should be struck between copyright and the rights of access to information for information and learning. I will explain briefly how blind and partially sighted people read and the barriers they face in doing so. I shall indicate ways in which we feel that WIPO and its member states can help to dismantle some of these barriers. Afterwards, my colleagues from the DAISY Consortium and for the Libraries for the Blind section of the International Federation of Library Associations will build on this basic outline and provide greater insight into the problems, but above all, the solutions that beckon. It is estimated that there are some 180 million blind and partially sighted people in the world. Epidemiology varies significantly from one part of the world to another. However, in any country, we are talking both about children and young people yearning for education and employment, and older people whose sight has declined as they age, but whose rights to a full and enriching life should not diminish as a result. Article 19 of the United Nations Universal Declaration on Human Rights recognises the right to seek, receive, and impart information. Article 27 recognises the right to participate fully in the cultural life of the community. Paragraph 5.6 of the United Nations Standard Rules on the Equalisation of Opportunity for Disabled People also asserts rights of disabled people to access information. And of course, the term information here is used in its broadest sense, encompassing any material for lifelong learning, for culture, for entertainment. In today's world, one essential channel through which information is made available is the written word. It follows that access to the written word is indispensable if the rights of access described above are to be realised. And indeed, Kofi Annan, Secretary General of the United Nations, speaking at the inauguration of the UN Decade on Literacy earlier this year, describe literacy as a human right. Blind and partially sighted people can only access the written word, whether originally displayed on paper or on computer screen, if the presentation of that material is adapted in some way. You know, adaptations can include enlarging, altering features such as colour or font, transferring into a tactile code or into an audio format. The result may be hard copy Braille, large print, tape, CD, or it may take the form of temporary output from computer peripherals, such as synthetic speech, or an enlarged screen display. Now, in none of these cases is modification to content suggested, only to the forms of presentation of that content. Now, the World Blind Union recognises that there are people with other disabilities that impair reading in conventional ways. And we are mandated to represent only those with a visual impairment, but we in no way wish to stand in the way of others and believe that comprehensive solutions are desirable. So our references throughout this presentation to blind and partially sighted people do not imply any rejection of the case that can be made by others. Now, if we accept that access to information is a right, then it follows that any impediment to access to information is a denial of that right. Barriers can be economic, they can be technological, and they can be legal. Let me stress, if I have not done so already, that the World Blind Union fully accepts that copyright is in itself a legitimate form of moral and economic protection for creators of content and for those who add value to creative work. This right should, however, be balanced against the rights of blind and partially sighted people to read the same material as their fellow citizens at the same time and at no additional cost to the individual. The Berne Convention, the Trade-Related Intellectual Property Rights Treaty of the World Trade Organization, and the WIPO Copyright Treaty of 1996 allow states to include in their intellectual property laws exceptions or limitations to copyright which do not conflict with the legitimate interests of rights holders. A growing number of states have indeed enacted such legislation in recent years, although this takes a number of different forms in different jurisdictions. There is, in some countries, a commercial market for a limited range of accessible material, although large print and unabridged audiobooks almost always cost more than the standard equivalent. However, most accessible material today is still created by specialist agencies operating on charitable funds or on social subventions. And this means in practice that only a small proportion of the material published currently becomes available in accessible formats. In the United Kingdom, for example, it is estimated that only around 5% of published titles ever become available in accessible formats. And it's rare indeed for the accessible version to come out until months or years after the original. If no exception or limitations exist in national legislation for the benefit of blind and partially sighted people, then those producing accessible formats need to seek explicit permission from the rights holder for every title and every format. This causes delay. It sometimes is met with refusal and misunderstanding, thus denying people vital access to a text they urgently require. It also places a huge administrative burden on organisations producing accessible material. And so the World Blind Union believes that every state in the world should have exceptions or limitations in its national law for the benefit of blind and partially sighted people. And we would urge distinguished delegates from those countries who do not yet have such exceptions to consider how they can introduce them at the earliest opportunity. Now, we believe that these exceptions should have the following features. They should, firstly, achieve general acceptance of the principle that the creation of alternative format versions from lawfully acquired originals on a non-profit basis with controlled distribution does not constitute an infringement of copyright and therefore requires no permission. They should enshrine rights rather than merely streamlining permission procedures. And thirdly, they should avoid restrictions to particular formats or particular technologies. And so we come now to the first of our specific recommendations to your committee and to WIPO. A very important part of WIPO's work is to offer advice on intellectual property law to developing countries and to countries in transition. WBU has been discussing with WIPO staff how that advice might be broadened to include advice on the scope for exceptions or limitations for the benefit of blind people, and indeed the desirability of such exceptions. We hope that progress can be made on this front in the near future. I would, however, now like to move from the national to the international dimension. It appears to us that national arrangements are not on their own the total solution. A blind person in, say, Canada can benefit from that country's copyright exceptions. Another blind person, even one sharing his Canadian counterpart's language in, for example, France or the United Kingdom, wanting to read the same material, perhaps, and wanting to read material made accessible in Canada may still have no right to do so, even if their own country also has exceptions in their own copyright legislation. No national jurisdiction can legislate for another. Because of the acute shortage of accessible materials, blind and partially sighted people should, we feel, have straightforward access to the world stock of accessible materials, the world stock of materials whose presentation has been modified. This access should be without geographical or territorial limitations caused by legislative divergence. Again, of course, we are talking here about arrangements on a non-profit basis with controlled distribution. So we are also calling for the creation of international agreements which would allow the unhindered transfer of accessible material created in one country to blind and partially sighted people in another country. Bilateral or multilateral agreements may well be the first step. The dream is an international accord backed by WIPO and all its members. And so we move to our second specific request to WIPO. In June, at your ninth meeting, you received a major survey on exceptions and limitations in the digital environment prepared by Professor Ricketson from Australia. Building on this, we have been advised that it may be possible for WIPO to commission a survey of national copyright legislation in respect of exceptions or limitations for blind and partially sighted people. Most significantly for us, this survey would, we hope, also inquire into any importation rights associated with such exceptions. This work will be a valuable first step. We should be able to see where there is already good practice both from the point of view of rights holders and the point of view of blind and partially sighted users. Rights holders and legislators will be able to see where there is similarity between different jurisdictions and may thus feel more confident about entering into agreements for the transfer of material to those other jurisdictions. A brief word on technological barriers. The advent of digital rights management and technological protection measures has unfortunately often created new technological barriers, however unintentionally. The schemes used are often incompatible with current access technology. Copyright legislation should therefore create mechanisms to ensure that anyone entitled to benefit from an exception is not then prevented from enjoying that exception because of an inadvertent technical block, and is afforded access by another legal means. And so our third specific request for WIPO revolves around this issue. At this 10th committee meeting, you will be receiving a major report on digital rights management from Professor Cunard and others. We very much hope that in your future work, in future investigations into the role of digital rights management and technological protection, you will be able to take full account of our requirements. Of course, we recognise that the removal of copyright barriers, while invaluable, will not alone give instant access to all published material. It is also important to establish close working relationships between rights holders' organisations and agencies serving blind people. We are now initiating discussions with the International Publishers Association, conveniently based here in Geneva, alongside our colleagues from the other bodies who are addressing you today. And of course, we will support any valid initiative to improve this form of collaboration. Such initiatives may well include the adoption by mainstream publishers of specifications which facilitate the creation of accessible formats, and we'll be hearing more about the DAISY standard shortly. They may include schemes for either voluntary or compulsory deposit of texts in a central repository to which bona fide individuals and, more importantly, organisations can have access. And they may include licensing agreements between publishers and agencies. All these elements have a role to play. In conclusion then, ladies and gentlemen, we've identified perhaps three specific areas in which we would ask your committee and WIPO for assistance, advice to countries seeking to improve their own intellectual property legislation, development of international understandings, and recognition of our needs in respect to digital rights management. So let me stress once again that the World Blind Union is not opposed to the legitimate application of copyright, nor do we wish to deny rights holders a fair return for their endeavours. Where the market can provide accessible material at the same time and at the same price as the original version or the standard version, there is no need for intervention. There is no problem. However, in so many cases, this is not the case. This is not so. And blind and partially sighted people, along with organisations serving them, should be assisted by legislators to realise their right to share in the rich culture and wealth of knowledge open to society as a whole. Blind and partially sighted people, We would therefore ask WIPO and its members to help blind and partially sighted people throughout the world realise their right to read. Thank you very much.